This is The Record. I'm Deborah Wong, sitting in for Bill Radke, and we're live tweeting at KUOW. How much are you willing to share with your social networks? How honest are you, really, in your social media posts, especially when things aren't going so well? Like, would you ever share a story about the time you didn't quite make it to the bathroom when you were studying abroad in rural India?
I ran down there, pounded on the door, and said, "I need to go to the bathroom right now. It's an emergency." By the time I got in there and squatted down in the hole, it was too late. I was stuck in rural India with so much poop in my pants and still coming out of me.
That was University of Washington student Noah Eisfelder reading a true story written by an anonymous UW undergraduate. It was performed last week as part of an event called the Vulnerability Collective. Lauren Middleman, a UW senior, organized it. She asked other undergraduates to submit stories they would normally not share about their challenges and failures.
It's hard to kind of be honest and be vulnerable, especially during undergrad when we kind of just feel like everyone else has everything together. And so I really wanted to collect those stories that just aren't shared, that make someone doesn't feel comfortable sharing. Those are the most powerful ones. And if even one other person hears your story that has been through a similar experience, then, you know, that connection made is just invaluable.
So is this a common feeling among people of your age that life is supposed to be perfect and you're not supposed to share your failures or your challenges?
Yeah, especially with, you know, social media and everything right now. Everyone feels, and across the board, whether you're just entering college or about to graduate, that everyone else has their plan, their life a little bit more put together than you. And that just can't be true. Everyone can't think that. That can't be true across the board. It's just this perception that we have. I remember when I was a freshman, I wasn't sure what I was studying, but everyone who was in a freshman direct into the Foster School of Business, I already felt like they already knew what they were doing. And now that I'm graduating, I feel like people already have these job offers that I don't have. So just kind of, I feel like it's across the board, everyone feels like they are a little bit behind. And that's because people only share kind of the good, only, especially on social media, people only share kind of the highlights.
So you are working under the rubric of a bigger project at the university called the Resilience Lab. And Anne Browning, you're in charge of that. What's the goal of the Resilience Lab?
I would say the goal is to kind of normalize these experiences of setbacks and failures and the occasional faceplant that we all go through. And as Lauren was saying, there's just this sense that we so curate what we share outwardly that what we've noticed is a lot of students are feeling pretty isolated and alone in their moments of biggest setback and struggle.
And this is a project that's happening not just at the University of Washington, but at other college campuses. So this
yes.
is something, this is like a thing now.
This is a thing. And I started having some conversations around resilience based on my own research that's been on student athletes and seeing their stories and kind of this idea of academic self-handicapping, that if something's not going well, if you're really pushing up against the limits of what you're capable of and you start to struggle, I was seeing students actually stop trying. And it was easier to not try and fail because then my ego wasn't on the line. If I really tried and struggled and failed, then it said something about my ability. So I would see these athletes kind of pull back from academic engagement as a way of kind of protecting themselves. And, you know, we start to ask, like, how else is this happening? Where else is this happening? And I actually connected with folks at Harvard University. They've had a success failure project. And Stanford University, they've had a resilience project as well. And there's actually kind of a resilience consortium of Ivy League schools and kind of a broader base that we're a part of now that are really looking at kind of this issue of students who come into universities and, as my colleagues at Stanford say, they're seeing their students enter as failure deprived. This notion that they've got these pristine resumes and somebody has kind of grabbed them by the scruff of the neck and saved them before they ever face planted. So as a student sitting down in, you know, kind of a difficult chem class for the first time and they get hammered on a midterm, suddenly that that moment of first failure is what you're experiencing as a college student when, you know, I could name plenty of failures I had long before I entered undergrad. And so trying to kind of help students really kind of see these struggles and setbacks as moments of growth and opportunity.
So I'm a lot older than you guys, and I have actual teenagers at home. So I'm wondering, is this a failure of my generation parenting? I mean, have we raised a generation of kids who have not failed, don't know what failure is, and can't cope with failure?
I think we have a different level of expectation for what a, you know, potential 18-year-old entering college should have on their resume, and what that resume should look like. It's kind of this ratcheting up, like almost arms race of what that, you know, person should have experienced and can speak to.
There's this idea that millennials, which I think is awesome, but millennials can change the world. And you have the capability that when you are in your 20s and young 30 and whatever, and when you're young, you can really have this huge impact. And there can almost be a feeling that if you're not doing that and you're not succeeding, then you're not doing something right.
I want to talk more about the stories that you collected and that were performed last week at the UW. Some were pretty lighthearted, like the story we heard of the kid who had the bathroom accident in India, but some were pretty heavy. Let's hear a little bit of those.
When I was 12 years old, I was sexually abused. I think I make jokes because that's a defense mechanism. At the time, he was charged with child molestation. Because that was the charge, I agreed, yeah, that's what happened. I didn't know what rape was, as I didn't even know what sex was. I still, to this day, as a college student, trying to understand what had happened to me.
2. That's the number of eyes I have, the number of gears on my chain wheel, and the number of times I nearly committed suicide in college. Once during my freshman year, and again during my senior year here at UW.
I've never admitted my feelings regarding pornography to anyone. I've never felt like I could be open about it. The reason that this is such a struggle is because I don't believe a pornography addiction fits into society's norms of what a struggle should look like. I don't go out and drink all the time. I'm not addicted to alcohol. I don't go out and hook up with strangers. I'm not interested in the hookup scene. It feels like a problem that most people wouldn't understand or even be sympathetic about.
So, Lauren, these were stories that you collected. They were about suicide attempts, loneliness, sexual abuse, academic failures. When you started seeing these stories, were you surprised by all of these really tough issues that were out there?
I wasn't surprised by the issues. The biggest thing I was surprised about was these students' excitement to share their stories, even though they were so dark. I did a bit of marketing to reach out to students, and I just got an influx of emails from students I have never met, and they heard about the project and really, really, really wanted to share their story.
What is the really big picture goal of what you're doing, Lauren, and the whole Resilience Lab? I mean, what do you want people at the university to know about and to take away from all of these stories and these experiences that you're sharing?
To me, the Vulnerability Collective is about sharing those incredibly hard experiences. And I think there's this sense of agency and kind of empowerment that comes with suddenly putting a voice to the very hard experience. And there's a connection that happens. And there's also this then kind of wraparound support. You know, to me, in that venue last night, you kind of felt this level of support for the people who had experienced and really kind of, you know, respect for the courage it took to share those stories.
That was Anne Browning from the University of Washington's Resilience Lab, and also Lauren Middleman, who put together stories from UW undergraduates called the Vulnerability Collective. If you want to learn more and find out about the next event of the Resilience Lab, we're tweeting out a link now. This is The Record. I'm Deborah Wong.